Okay, thank you very much. We are now beginning the forum for the first group of county council members. Welcome. On the table, candidates, you should have a list of questions, 7 questions. I will be asking you these questions in the order that you pulled numbers earlier tonight. You should also have 3 pieces of colored paper stapled together, and we'd like you to choose 3 additional questions from the list that you're not assigned to. When one of the 3 questions that you want to answer is asked, please tear off one of those pink slips and show it to me, and I will then call you and allow you to have 1 minute comment on that particular question. We would like you to respond to 3 questions, so tonight you will be answering 4 questions. You will also have 2 minutes for a closing statement. Please introduce yourselves. You may also make a general statement. Please watch the timekeeper, who will be showing you time, 30 seconds, 1 minute, and 2 minutes. And you may also make a general statement. We will begin with Mr. Kualii. You have 30 seconds.
Aloha. I'm former council member Kipukai Kualii. I want to serve you. I love this island, and I love our people. And I have the experience, dedication, and knowledge to do the job very well. So I hope you'll support me. Mahalo.
Thank you. Ms. Cowden, you have 30 seconds.
I'm Felicia Cowden, and I am from Kilauea. And I have been in the community for many years working in different community development efforts, mostly education, youth at risk, business, economic development, and some agriculture. I am really excited to be a set of fresh eyes to help the group, the county council, work to govern the county. So I ask for your vote, Felicia Cowden.
Thank you. Mr. Bynum, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you. Aloha. I've been very honored to serve as your council member for almost 8 years. I think I'm well-versed in a wide range of issues. I work really hard. This is my full-time job, and I spend probably 60 hours a week trying to focus on various issues. There's been a lot of high-profile issues this last term, but I'd ask you to look at the totality of everyone's record and all of the positions and all of the good work we've done for you over the years. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chalk, you have 30 seconds.
Aloha, aiai. Aloha. My name is Mason Chalk, born and raised on the island of Kauai, and one of your county council members as it is for 9 months now. I've learned so much in this time that I've been here and want to contribute more. What I bring to this seat is reasonable voices, bring people together. I believe that the work that I've done in leadership development over the years has really helped to move our island already, and I want to continue here do our government work. I'm focused on socioeconomic change. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Fafaro, you have 30 seconds.
Yes, hello, good evening. I'm Jay Fafaro, and first of all, I'd like to take a moment to apologize to the West Side group. I had to leave the forum to attend to a personal matter. But for myself, I am really Kamaaina to the North Shore. My family goes back on the Gom side, and my beautiful wife Emma and my 3 children to the Wainia powerhouse. I find myself as a candidate because I have a deep love for Kauai, and I have been 39 years in corporate hotel and resort business. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Fafaro, could you move your mic closer, please? You're coming in and out. Thank you. Mr. Bruin, you have 30 seconds.
Aloha, Kauai, ni hao. My name is Arthur Bruin. Born and raised here on Kauai, 42 years old, father of 5, 3 boys, 2 girls, grandfather of a baby girl. I just want to serve the people of Kauai and Niihau. We need to do what is right for the people here, to stay here, to grow up here, and afford to live here on our beautiful island. And that's what we want to do. Thank you. Please vote Arthur Bruin, Kauai County Council.
Thank you. Mr. Kaneshiro, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you. My name's Arrow Kaneshiro, and I'm a product of this island. I was born and raised here. I was educated here. And I was lucky enough to be able to go off to school, go off to college on the mainland, got a degree in business accounting, was able to earn a CPA, become a certified public accountant. And again, I was fortunate enough to be able to come home and work. And I'm just happy to be back, and I look forward to serving you. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Corley, according to proponents, the proposed pay-as-you-throw program is not to raise fees, but rather to promote recycling and reduce the amount of materials that is disposed in the county's fill. To others, there will be an increase in illegal dumping to avoid fees. What is your position on the program? You have 2 minutes.
So this is 2 minutes. I think that the current program is a great program and that we're moving in the right direction, pay as you throw. However, I do think that it should be about incentivizing rather than punishing. And so our people should, right now we got these trash containers and they're the bigger ones. The price of what it is today should not be increased if you keep that larger can. It should be stay the same, and it should be decreased if you take the smaller can. So that's an incentive. If you're increasing prices on people that are already, you know, in the behavior that they are in, doing the trash that they are trashing, you're basically punishing them for not making less trash. So I think if you're going to incentivize it, make the smaller can cheaper. Eventually, you know, we got to get it going on the whole island and get everybody working to divert more and recycle more and compost more. But the program shouldn't be a punishment. It should be, you know, working with the people, educating the people, making the compost bins available, but and definitely getting it throughout the island, because, you know, not all the neighborhoods have it now. But I do support the good work that the mayor and our recycling people are, solid waste people are doing. Thank you.
Thank
you. I still
you.
Have 30 seconds. So.
Is there anyone who would like to comment on this question? Mr. Chalk, would you please take one of your pink slips and...
Oh.
Thank you. And just throw it into the green envelope. Green. Thank you. Again, the question is, what is your position on the proposed pay-as-you-throw program? You have 1 minute.
Yeah, I just wanted to make some things clear. I think that this is more of a fee that we're looking at rather than a tax. And I want us to reflect that the true cost of this service is about $55 per person. And so we need to keep that into perspective. This is a discount. I believe this is about mind shift. I mean, it is about us changing our behaviors. And I think that it is a decrease in, I mean, we've decreased the cost for this smaller can. I also want to answer about the dumping, because I think there's been a lot of research on it as well. And the research says that most dumping is on large items like refrigerators and cars, and that there's less than an 8% increase across the board with what we've seen in research from our consultant about any dumping that could occur. So I think we're moving in the right direction with pay-as-you-throw, and I support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cowden. The cost of vehicle registrations have more than doubled in the last 2 years. The water bill has been changed from every 2 months to monthly, and the cost of food has increased, placing additional burdens on families. What is your position on exempting the general excise tax on food items, and why? You have 2 minutes.
I support the idea of exempting general excise tax on food items. I think that there are many people who are in a really serious cycle of poverty challenge, and food should be one of those things that you can get access to. And so on that, I mean, I wouldn't put it on everything else in the grocery store, maybe basic household items, but certainly not alcohol or different elements like that. But food, yes. And I like how you framed this question. Because when you're looking at things like the cost of vehicle registration, there's more than that. And when you aren't at the top of the pile economically, it gets harder and harder, even just like getting your safety sticker. Very difficult to get a safety sticker on an older vehicle any longer because of the burden on the garage. And so what I find happens is that people, once they start to stumble, they can't recover because we have so many penalties, fines, and taxes. it becomes almost criminal to be poor. And so we have these heavy cycles. And, you know, one step is the food. But another step is sometimes I think maybe we have too many regulations. You know, education is better than regulation. So there's many things. Even sleeping has become a crime if you don't have the right place to sleep. So this is something that people should be expecting out of me, is to be a champion of the people who are struggling. And there are many. And many good people and many good kids and families that just can't quite inch their way out of this cycle of poverty that is burdened extra by the taxation. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone that would like to make a comment on this question? Mr. Bynum, you have 1 minute.
Yes, I want to say that the general excise tax is the worst tax in the world. It taxes everything. It taxes services, haircuts. Most communities have sales tax. They may be 7%, but it's only on things you purchase, and it doesn't include food and medicine. In Hawaii, they tax your rent. They tax your gas tax. They tax your haircut. They tax everything. Of course, I would support exempting food and medicine, but that's a state decision, and our state hasn't done that. The reason I bring this up is because this is a very current issue. The mayors and council members have been debating about whether we should tax you general excise at the county level. So if you pay $2,000 of rent a year, a month, the county would take $20. I am opposed to that adamantly, but our mayors have proposed that 2 years in a row. Some of the council members oppose it, some support it. It's an issue that I think we should all look at. GE tax is a bad idea.
Thank you. Mr. Bruin, did you want to comment on this question? Anyone else? Mr. Kaneshiro, one minute.
Thanks. I think this question has two parts. And when it comes to general excise tax, that's a state function. So for me, I'd probably stay away from it. As far as our vehicle registration, I mean, we need to understand that there's only two ways that the county can get revenue, and it's through our vehicle taxes and it's through our real property taxes. And, you know, the county's in a situation where they need to try and weigh their costs with their revenues. And I'm sure the amount they charge for vehicle taxes doesn't cover the cost of fixing the roads. So in addition to looking at the vehicle taxes, they also need to look at fiscal responsibility and looking at what else kind of costs that the county has that they can cut, and not only being able to increase vehicle registration taxes.
Thank you. Mr. Bynum, some members of the council serve full-time, while others may have other jobs. What is your position on whether council members should serve full-time and why? You have 2 minutes.
You know, I'll just share my own experience. I was a executive director of Leadership Kauai when I was first elected. It was a great job, and I discovered right away that the responsibilities of the county council did not allow me to continue in another job like that. That was a personal choice. I wouldn't impose that on others. At the time, the county council paid $32,000, so it was a big pay cut, too, to become a council member. And then later, one time, there's been an increase while I've been on council to our current about 56, I think it is. And I thought the community would say, you know what, at 56, we expect full-time council members. You know, that's enough. But I haven't heard that demand from the community. I just know for me, it's a full-time job. And I won't be critical of others who choose to do other jobs. They can work it out. They can do that successfully. I'm not going to make a judgment about that. I just know for me, I needed all of that time to do a job that I thought the people needed. I have a minute, so that's pretty much all I have to say about this issue. But what I will say is that we have a bunch of great government workers that get paid well, and they should. So one of the questions we've had about pay inversions, when department heads make more money, or civil service workers make more money than department heads. This is not a good time to talk about raises for department heads, but we need to fully pay department heads well so we attract good people. So in the long run, we shouldn't allow those inversions to occur. So you got a bonus answer from Tim tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Is there anyone else? So we'll start with Mr. Kualii.
Yeah, I think the system as it is a good system, where it's part-time. And I think, you know, the job is a two-year assignment. The voters get to rehire you or not every year. So we as council members shouldn't rely on this as our primary income. And I think we should have our other jobs. And I think the type of person that steps forward to run for council is the type that would probably do a lot of the work that you can do on council anyway in community, because you're a community organizer, you're driven, you're doing that work. And clearly it takes, you know, the extra hours. So you work in nights and weekends. And if anything, I would propose that as a fiscally responsible measure, the council members should be part-time, and to help with the budget, the council should start giving back some of the salary and cuts across the board. You know, when times are tough and it has to come from the salaries, the council can be an example.
Thank you, Ms. Gowden.
Yes, I know at least for myself, even just running has been more than a full-time job. And, you know, there's important issue after important issue going on all around the island, and it takes a lot of intention to go there and be there. So I see it as a full-time job. The other part that I think is very important is to not have a conflict of interest. If you are working for an outside employer, especially one that has overlap with county jurisdiction, that creates some conflict. So for me, the voter can expect a dedicated, undivided council member, and I'm happy to be serving people full-time. I do understand that it's only a two-year job, and, you know, so Mr. Kualii has a good point, but from me, you will get my full attention, and I work overtime. I will be there for you. I will be ready. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Mr. Bruin?
No, I don't think at this time council should be a full-time job, because if you move it to a full-time job, then the council member is going to ask for more pay. With the budget crunch we're in right now, I don't think we can afford to bump up the pay for council members. So it wouldn't be right to ask them to do a full-time job. It's a lot of work, and, you know, I've never been on a council, so, you know, I see some people have other jobs, they do other jobs, and it can be done as a part-time status, and it's how much you want to put in. Like Felicia talked about campaigning. You know, I have a full-time job, and I still campaign for this job, and I can tell you we're campaigning really hard. It's taxing, but it's all worth it. It's all for the people of Kauai and Niihau. But do I support it? No, not right now. I think we can do it as a part-time and still do good for the island of Kauai. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on this issue? Mr. Chuck?
Okay. I've only been on council 9 months, and I can tell you it's a full-time job. And I can tell you that if you ask any of our council staff, they're going to tell you that they're overwhelmed. We're doing way more than we've ever done ever before. And what I think is it's going to get more worse. It's going to get more intense. We're going to have more issues as this world continues to change. And so I believe we do need to support having council commit to the kind of time that's necessary. It is a 24-hour job from my perspective. And I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to contribute. My work is about service, and I want to contribute that. But I think we need to keep that in perspective. I think we need to be realistic about what the needs are for this community, because they're so intense. And, you know, I'll do it for the same price. It ain't much. It's $56,000 if you want to know. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, Mr. Chuck. Small businesses. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Farfaro.
I can see.
I'm sorry?
Okay, I'll put it in. There we go. Okay. 6 years I became the chairman. 6 years ago, I left my other job. This is a full-time job committed to Kauai for the focus on the business that needs to be done here. You're interacting with other political subdivisions, going through things like housing grants, where the federal government is cutting funding. You're dealing with the state on funding invasive species. On Tuesdays, the council is in a routine to prepare staffing needs for the week as the council agenda comes up on Wednesday. On Thursday, you're meeting to talk about the agenda itself, and you cannot have other conflicts. You need to be focused on the business of the county of Kauai. This is a $178 million operating corporation, and it needs that kind of attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Chuck, small businesses on Kauai have contended that they would have to lay off workers to accommodate any wage increases. What is your position on increasing the minimum wage and the impact on businesses, and why? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I am a small business owner. Haven't been doing much business, of course, because I answered in my last question. I've had my business since 1999. It is a struggle for businesses to stay afloat, to contribute, especially the kind of work that I do, which is community work as well, in my business. However, along with that, those struggles are even more struggles to keep the right kind of people in place. And I believe we need to invest in our future if we expect our kids to stay here on this island and have a fruitful life, a kind of life that we expect them to have. And so I am in support of looking at our wages constantly and figuring out what we can do for our laborers. I do believe, in addition, that there's other ways that we can support our businesses. We can enhance the work that's being done through our small business services at KCC. I believe that I would support tax credits for things, entities such as benefit corps that are more directed to the kinds of businesses we want on our island that will fit the general plan and the kind of future that we want on Kauai. And that looks like people who are engaged in social entrepreneurism, who are taking their work and making it their life to contribute to Kauai. And I think we should all be doing that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone who would like to answer this? Ms. Cowden?
I do support increasing the minimum wage. I had a small business, Hanalei Surf Company, for 18 years, and we never paid minimum wage. What I find is it's very important that your employees are able to live a basic life, and even going $2 or $3 an hour above that amount is hardly enough. It's not enough. And a business that's worth the product that it puts out needs to pay people enough money to be able to live. Otherwise, it's not really a viable business, you know, or you have to be pulling your employees from those who aren't self-sustaining. And I think that when the minimum wage goes up a little bit, that it's going to, you know, other businesses have to pay it, so it keeps the prices about the same. I don't know hardly anybody who pays minimum wage. You know, when I used to be the president of the North Shore Business Council, we did have a problem with people paying under the table, but not me, by the way. But I think that it's expensive to live here, and people need to be compensated.
Thank you. Anyone want to answer this question? Mr. Kaneshiro?
I too would agree to an increase in minimum wage. We all know this is one of the probably highest cost of living places you can live in. I mean, we live in paradise and we pay for it. And I do believe that people deserve a pay that they can survive on. Minimum wage is low. We all know how high rent is. We know how high food is. Everything we pay for costs a lot of money. So I think if we're going to allow minimum wage, it should be an amount that people can survive on and at least make a living.
Thank you. Anyone else on this? Mr. Fafaro?
Yes. Thank you very much. You know, there's another part to this, and I would support raising the minimum wage, and that's from the employer's perspective, too. When you have a constant turnover in employees, you have a constant ongoing cost to retrain, reeducate those particular employees. So there is a retention issue here that's extremely important, to be able to compensate with benefits and wages your employees, that you can have them retained with you and deliver good levels of customer service, because in fact they feel that it is important for them to serve and be good stewards of that business. Constant turnover means constant additional cost retraining, a flow of employees in and out of the back door. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just want to remind you that there are going to be only 3 questions left, and if you have not answered 3 additional questions, then be prepared to answer the next 3 questions. So is there another person that might want to might comment on the minimum wage. If not, going on. Mr. Farfaro, how would you propose to downsize government while still providing the current level of services to the public, and why? You have 2 minutes.
Okay, well, there's two parts to that question also. There is the fact that when I look at what the mayor has done recently, and sometimes this talk about a growing government, I think if you look back 4 years, the actual operating budget for the county of Kauai has not grown that significant. We have had, of course, we've added rescue services, we've added 17 positions for beach safety, but in the long run, they all help with controlling a good environment here. But the biggest hit we took was the loss of the TAT, our share of the transit accommodation. And to make it clear for everyone, the state has gone from collecting about $282 million in total baggage to almost $372 million now. The original legislation, which I give credit to Senator Kochi for the fact that he lobbied strongly after the hurricane that Kauai would have their share, which is 14.1%. The first 50% goes in funds, the Visitors Bureau, the Convention Center, and then the counties divvy up the difference. To Mr. Kochi's credit, that's where we got that from his effort. But I also want to tell you, when they capped us 3 years ago, we lost $27 million worth of revenue, and we weren't able quick enough to change gears to downsize government. Now they're going to cap us additional 2 years, which is going to be another $18 million. We almost can't react that quickly, and we have some other expenses on the horizon. And I can tell you, because in corporate America, which I served for 39 years, I'm quite able to read a balance sheet. And there is a very, very big need for us to lobby to get our fair share of the TAT back. If not, the cuts are going to be very deep. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone that wants a comment, Mr. Bynum?
Thank you. I saw that Jay was going to have this question and know that I'd want to follow up, because what Mr. Farfaro says is correct. The mayor and the council have really done a good job at spending over the last 4 or 5 years during this downturn. Spending didn't go up when the mayor became mayor. It actually went down for 2 years. Okay. The question, so there's all this rhetoric about, oh, we got to cut waste and fraud. We all want to cut waste and fraud. We all are upset when government's not efficient. And we've had Nadine Nakamura and Tim Bynum and Council Chair Farfaro and Joanne and really thoughtfully working on squeezing these budgets. And the question I have to ask is, what is it we're doing now that you want us to stop doing? No more Kapuna Care, no more summer fun. Those are non-essentials, right? They're not things that we're required to do. So we've whittled this down. There's not a lot of waste and fraud out there, right? At the last budget, nobody came up with proposals to make major cuts in spending. Nobody.
Thank you. Mr. Chalk?
Thank you. I'm going to agree with my two colleagues as well in what they've said, and I'll add to it. I think that we have a strong community on Kauai. I think that our community associations are very strong and have done a lot of work and continue to do a lot of work that we should support in empowering them to do some of the work of government. And I think we need to look for ways to allow them to be more progressive by supporting them. I also believe that in terms of deregulating government, we should be looking at our procurement process, because I think that there are ways that we can also save money by loosening the process so that we can have local contractors contribute and do jobs where we don't have to pay $400,000 for a restroom. In terms of waste, I would agree, like I said, with my colleagues, and there's room that for more cuts and saving in terms of the lawsuits that we've experienced. And I'm not talking about the lawsuits that help to serve our community, but the lawsuits that are internal beefs, conflicts.
Thank you very much. Mr. Corley, I'm asking you the same question. How would you propose to downsize government while still providing the current level of services to the public? You have 1 minute.
I still have my two questions to pick.
So you don't want this question?
Well, I mean,
it's up to you. Sorry.
Pick the next two.
Okay.
And I only have a minute, though.
You do.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Bynum, do you have a question that you're going to choose out of these three?
Or seven.
No, okay. Mr. Chalk, Mr. Farfaro, Mr. Brune. Mr. Kaneshiro.
There's only two questions left. I got one ticket, so I got to choose.
There are three questions left.
One is a question.
I got to
choose.
You're right.
I'll take a crack at it.
Which question are you going to be? The downsizing of government.
Downsizing.
Okay. The question is, how would you propose to downsize government while still providing the current level of services to the public, and why? You have 2 minutes.
I think when it comes to downsizing government, it consists of trust and accountability. I'm not sure how the county's budget process goes, but I know when we do budgeting, people usually add a little fluff to it so that you don't go over budget. One thing, I mean, you don't want to ever go over budget, but I think as far as downsizing goes, if departments can trust that, you know, they cut their budget, but if they need money in the next year and they ask for money, they can get it. I think that's one way that we could downsize the budget rather than leaving that fluff in there or having to spend that money just to make sure that you have that money the next year. You know, I think it really comes down to trust. Being able to budget what you need, and in the next year being able to ask if you need more or less, and that's one of the ways I think they could try and downsize on the budget.
Thank you, Mr. Brune. What specific steps would you take to increase renewable energy on Kauai, and why? You have 2 minutes.
I think, first of all, we need to look at our rubbish dump out in Kekaha and work with that to get the incinerators out there to turn that into energy, which we can. There is studies out there that we can use and protocols in place that we can use to get that. Also, I went down to the Koloa KIUC solar farm that they had, and that's a beautiful place down there. They're working on another one in Anahola. So we're moving in the right direction, and we got to keep on doing that. Turn all our county buildings with solar on the roof. Put everything into solar before KIUC tells us we can't do it anymore because they run out of money to do it. Yeah, we need to really turn all our trash and put it and make it into energy. That's a big one that we can do out there in Kekaha because we have a lot of trash out there, including all that dirt, and turn that into renewable energy. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Coley or Ms. Cowden?
I think this is a really important issue, and it's very important for the county and the government to work with KIUC to help make sure that they can continue the distribution. It's much easier for us to do what we call a negawatt, you know, don't even waste the energy to begin with. But the production is going down. There's less need, so we have to be careful that KIUC stays healthy. The hydro pump station, I'm kind of excited to learn more about that. We've got a number of things coming online. We've got this biomass piece coming up. Certainly hot water at the household level is a really great way to save on energy consumption. So I feel that, and actually I want to support at least exploring what Arthur Brune is suggesting about burning the trash. I think that we have to really look at that before we can see if we have enough to make it work. But all of those are things I'm very open-minded to.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Koli?
85% of our power needs come from oil that's shipped in. We are in desperate need of local renewable energy. The state has a standard portfolio of 20% by 2020, but Kauai is out front because our portfolio is 50% by 2023. And KIUC is leading the way. With the Anahola and the Koloa solar farms coming online, their projection is to be at 38% by 2015. So we're on our way. As a community organizer, I supported and worked with First Wind for a site in Molawa'a. That didn't work out because birds and the data was insufficient. And then I worked with Green Energy in Anahola. And then with KIUC, we have our solar farm that's online right now, 12 megawatt, being constructed right now, giving jobs to our locals right there in Anahola. So I will continue to support that as a council member with tax incentives and land use policies.
Anyone else would like to answer this question? The next question is for Mr. Kaneshiro. The county is paying a high premium on litigation, lawyers' fees, settlements, and judicial awards. What is your position and plan to prevent or reduce these high amounts? You have 2 minutes.
Well, first of all, I think the county needs to stick to its core responsibilities and core functions. Whether we should be regulating pesticides, Bill 2491, 960, we're letting the judge decide. But we should focus back on what are our core responsibilities to keep us away from those litigation expenses. And also, the county's already working on it, but they've created an HR department. And I know there's some grievances around, so the HR department is a good thing. It'll help educate employees and hopefully try to reduce the amount of grievances in the county.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Mr. Bynum?
I wrote this down. Our county has suffered for years a string of high-level lawsuits involving civil rights, sexual harassment, and hostile work environments. As a county, managers have utterly failed to handle these situations. Many of these have involved very high-level political people throwing pot shots at each other and having political feuds, in which county employees have been injured, their careers destroyed like cannon fodder, while these high-level people go on their way. I know because I've been personally involved. I filed a civil rights lawsuit in the state because I was injured. My family was injured and my civil rights were violated. You only have to look as close as next week's agenda to see that we are again in court with the federal government with allegations that very high-level leaders have violated civil rights. This is a very serious issue that we are sweeping under the rug and we have to deal with. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else with this issue? Mr. Kualii? The question is, what is your position and plan to prevent or reduce these high amounts?
So my position is that it has to stop for sure. We're spending way too much money in this area, and might start with an audit of the county attorney's office. The county attorney is a highly paid individual, and many of the attorneys that work there are also highly paid. And yet many of our cases are being outsourced. So we're paying a whole team of attorneys, but then we're paying outside attorneys. It almost seems like double paying and a waste of the citizens' money. And settlements. We're making too many settlements, you know. Maybe we have to fight a couple of cases to lessen the lawsuits. Clearly, we need more education for everyone through human resources, and some of that has been happening to bring down any of the harassment and discrimination. But, I think, you know, we need to work on that.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Chalk?
I don't have a pink slip. Is that okay? I ran
out.
Have
you already answered? No, you may not answer. Thank you.
I can't answer this one.
Is there anyone else? No. Thank you, Mr. Bynum.
I got so much to say.
Anyone else who still has a pink slip? Mr. Farfaro?
Yes, thank you very much. First of all, I think the start of an HR department is the right step, and the mayor is leading us that way. Secondly, I think we have to remember we have employees that are at-will employees. And if they find themselves being challenged, then they should be reprimanded accordingly. And if we have to part ways, we part ways. End of story. Next piece deals with the fact that we are contracting out these legal services. We would probably save a lot of money if we put together a litigation team that handled this, maybe two attorneys in the office on a regular basis. And third, I want to clarify something. There were cuts made from the budget led by Mr. Kagawa first, Mr. Raposo second, and myself third. There were suggestions, and this litigation team was one of them. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Bruton?
I think, first of all, we need to, whenever there's lawsuits, there's a lot of frivolous lawsuits coming out. We need to get to court right away with our county attorneys. Put them in court, get it done right away, stop going, letting it go to litigation where it's costing us a lot of money. As a council, we need to stop passing crazy laws. Like in 2010, we did the additional dwelling unit on ag land that we passed, and, you know, we got sued for that because of a complication or whatever it was. And then Bill 2491, you know, we had many attorneys told us that it's an illegal lawsuit, but we went and we listened to doctors who said us it was a legal lawsuit, and now we're in the stage we are right now, spending too much money. But we need to really fight this lawsuit right away, get it done right there. So right now, everybody in the county looking in, let's sue the county. It's free money. We're going to litigation. We automatically going to win $250,000. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on this question? If not, we're ready for your closing statements. Mr. Kualii, you now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Mahalo to all the organizers for putting on tonight's forum, and to all of you for showing up and for listening in. What I promise you is that I will listen carefully, think independently, and work hard, and that I will be serving each and every one of you. My promise is based on my devotion to family and community, my respect and appreciation for our many cultures, and my genuine concern for others and for making a difference. I'm committed to working together positively and focusing on fiscally responsible budgeting, core services and program, protecting our aina, especially for our agricultural and sustenance lifestyles, including hunting, gathering, and fishing, and just making our county more accountable again to the people. So my time away working in government and on economic and social justice taught me to respect and value the diversity of community and struggle. It also taught me to make difficult decisions and achieve goals. My desire to serve you was so strong that it brought me back home after over 10 years. With the passage of Ordinance 960 and a continuing grassroots movement, the council must facilitate a collaborative community solution for the appropriate regulation of all pesticide use. I support bringing all stakeholders together with consideration and respect to find real solutions that work for everyone. Having grown up here and spent that time away uniquely qualifies me to help lead that collaboration in solving this problem and our other difficult problems while still protecting our island culture and lifestyle. I'm Kipukai Kualii. I really need your help in this election. Could you give me one of your 7 votes? I promise to work really hard for you. Mahalo.
Thank you. Ms. Cowden, you have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
I'm Felicia Cowden, and I really thank the Filipino Chamber of Commerce for the most vibrant forum that we've had yet. I appreciate your format. I humbly ask for one of your 7 votes. I think it is really important that we have diversity and not a line of similarly viewed people in the council. We want to have as many different perspectives and ideas that's a reflection of the different types of people that we have in our community. And I believe I do represent something a little different than's already been on there. And I also am coming from a very independent perspective, having basically signed my own paycheck since I was 24 years old. I am accustomed to being responsible for budgets and taking care of business. I have a background in engineering as well. I'm collaborative by nature. This experience in campaigning has been very interesting. I am happy to work with any of these people. I enjoy all of the people sitting on the existing council. a lot of respect for them, and I've been really enjoying meeting the other challengers. And I can work with anybody. I'm happy to work with our mayor, you know, whoever that may be. But I really have a lot of respect for how the departments are handling their jobs. What you will find with me is I'm willing to listen with an open mind and heart and to all sides of an issue, whether I agree with you or not. When you come into my space, you're going to feel like you have a partner in looking for a solution. I like to build win-wins. I like to out-create a problem more than to fight one. So I just thank all the new people I've met in my campaign time. I've been loving it. I'm really, really enjoying the experience of meeting so many different people. So I humbly ask for your vote, Felicia Cowden.
Thank you. Mr. Bynum, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here tonight. There's one thing that's for sure about everybody that was up here tonight and everybody was out there. We're passionate about our community. We love this place, and that's why we're all here. And so we have that common bond. I've been your council member for 8 years. I'm a marriage family therapist. My wife Jenny's sitting in the audience right there. I have 2 kids, David and Kelly, that are adults now. So I have 3 grandkids, Kavika, I forgot their names. Cliffy. That's how nervous I am. Cliffy and Eli. And that's what it's all about. Right? We chose to move here 25 years ago, and this is also our adopted home, like many of you. We got a really serious year before us, and there are serious issues. I would ask you to go to timbynum.com and read my position on some of the bigger ones. But it's the day-to-day stuff that I've been focused on for many years as a council member, working on parks and working on housing, meeting with community members. I'm the same guy I always was. I didn't get crazy and go off on some tangent. You know, we're bringing serious issues forward because serious things are happening on our island. But you need independent people. What you used to have was a hooey of 4 that ran the council. For the last 2 terms, you've had a bunch of independent people that butt heads and sometimes aren't polite with one another because our passion is so great. But it's been independent. You're being asked now to vote for slates of candidates. It's something that I am not comfortable with. I choose to run my own campaign. I've been out there working hard for all of you for 8 years, and I hope you choose to bring me back one more time because I'm not done yet. I got some more work to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Chalk, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Thank you. I'll try and answer that last question that I wanted to. I just want to say that, you know, the root cause of litigation in these lawsuits is the need for prevention. And the prevention is going to require a culture shift in our government. And in order to get that done, I've done things like start. I submitted a resolution for alternative dispute. It's embedded within our personnel department, and I am committed to continue to work to expand that to our department heads so that we can deal with conflict before it arises. This is what my contribution is, because my work is in leadership development. I've been doing it for many years. I'm a master facilitator of the work, and I live the behaviors. And so I believe I can model them. What I want to say is that, you know, what you're looking for and what we need out of a leader in council is one who can not only model but understands their values very clearly, knows what the vision for Kauai is, and is willing to be progressive and innovative and looking for new solutions while bringing people together. And we need to do that and be able to motivate people in the process. I'm in this for the right reasons. I'm a true servant. My heart is for Kauai. I want to see the kind of change necessary for our island in the future. I'm equipped with the knowledge for leadership development or through leadership development, and I know what our island's people's needs are. I'm a humble servant. I'm not a showboat. I don't feel like I need or have a drive for a political agenda. I just am here to serve, and I believe I can continue to bring people together for the right reasons and for the right solutions. So please vote for me, Mason Chalk. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mr. Farfar, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Thank you, everyone. Jay Farfaro, and I am asking you for one of your votes. I also want to say thank you very much for organizing this event today. I would like to say there's been discussion about people running as slates and groups. I'm a slate of one. Okay? I'm an independent thinker. I'm a Democrat. I believe in the foundation the Democratic Party stands for, and that is based on, can you successfully negotiate with people's differences at the table and show the leadership skill to get through tough situations? That's what the Democratic Party is about. That's why I'm a Democrat. And that is something I think is important to do to demonstrate my stewardship for my island home. I am married to the former Emma Gomes of Hanalei. We have three daughters. One has a master's in social work, one in business, and one is a planner. You talk about needing to cover the poi bowl so no bad feelings go into the calabash. I demonstrate that at my home with a group of well-educated young women that talk about our sustainability, our responsibility. And I do want to say to you that going forward, if I should be successful to get reelected on the council, I can work with everyone that's here today, and I would do my absolute best to kokua, use that value to make the right decisions for the right people and for our island. And again, thank you very much for your support over the last 12 years, but I look forward to continuing to serve if I can. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Brune, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Thank you, Kauai Filipino Chamber of Commerce. I just want to thank, you know, everybody for coming out and all the support we've been getting in the community. I want to thank HGA, SHOPO, Local 385, independent business leaders from Kapaa and from Lihue that's been supporting us through all of this. Thank you guys for, you know, supporting us and supporting me and giving me this opportunity and working as hard as we can to get elected. We have a coffee hour, Koloa Neighborhood Center, October 9th. It's at 5:30. Come on by. Let's talk story. You know, any issues you guys have, let's talk about it. And then October 15th, we'll be at Wailua House Lots Park. You have any questions, you can go to my website, Brune, the number 4, council.com. It's on Facebook, Arthur Brune. Email friendsofarthurbrune@gmail.com. Phone number is 652-7469. I'm always available, working as hard as we can. Want to thank everybody. Like I said, I'm 42 years old. I have 5 children and 1 granddaughter and 1 more on the way in March. You know, issues that we want to work on is we need to work on a drug and substance abuse facility to get it here on island. And if elected to council, you know, I think one of the changes that we need to do to be leaders and to set the example is implement a random drug test for all us leaders of the county, of the state, you know, on the council. Let's set an example. Let's do random drug tests. Let's all take a drug test and figure it out, you know. And if we got nothing to hide, let's do it. Let's represent the people. You know, if we want our employees in the unions to be drug-free, I think we should be drug-free as leaders also. Okay, I want to thank you very much, Arthur Brune, Kauai County Council.
Thank you. Mr. Kaneshiro, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
First off, I just want to thank you all for being here and staying up and watching. My name's Aro Kaneshiro. I care about Kauai and I care about its future. If you see my banners, people said it's kind of small, but it says homegrown sensibility. And when we started our campaign a long time ago, the group of people around me brainstormed ideas and said, you know, what would describe Aro? And that's what they came up with, homegrown sensibility, homegrown, born and raised, family ties to the island back generations, and understands the workings of the island, its community, culture, agriculture, development, and business. Sensibility, they said, I'm humble. Hard to say humble when I gotta say it about myself, but this is what they said, humble, confident, respectful, educated, and genuine, and able to approach all of the issues, taking all of these into consideration. I just want to say again, you know, born and raised here, my values and ethics were instilled right here on this island. I was at Koloa School not too long ago. My mom works there, and the principal asked me, Errol, what did your mom instill in you to be successful? And I didn't know he was going to ask me this question, so I had to think of something really quick. But I told him, you know, she always encouraged me to work hard and be respectful. And I can tell you, that's what I bring to you guys. That's what I bring to the island. And my name's Errol. I'm a CPA, and I humbly ask for your vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you please join me in thanking these candidates for the Kauai County Council? We will now transition to the next group for the Kauai County Council. We are ready to begin with the second group of County Council. All right. Please introduce yourselves. We are ready to begin. Would you please be seated? Thank you. On the table, you should have the list of questions. And as I did earlier, I will be asking you these questions in the order that you pulled the numbers tonight. And you should also have three pieces of colored paper stapled together, and we'd like you to choose three additional questions from the list. And if you have not answered an additional question, you can know that I will be letting you know when there's the last three questions. You'll also have 2 minutes for a closing statement. Please introduce yourselves, and you may also make a general statement. You have 30 seconds. Mr. Kagawa.
Aloha. Thank you for staying. It's been a long night. First of all, I'd like to congratulate all of the candidates who are running. You know, knowing firsthand that running 2 years ago, I can now respect the time and the stress that goes into this job. But I think, you know, all of us here have a common goal. I have one, of trying to make the island better. And there are a lot of problems and issues, primarily with our finances. And, you know, being born and raised here, I have 2 daughters attending college, happily married. My mom is out here watching, and we all, you know, hope for a better Kauai for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hooser, you have 30 seconds.
Aloha. Everybody still awake? Yes, I want to compliment the organizers on the great format. I think this is obviously the best forum, I believe, that we've had with a variety of questions and the intelligent dialogue, especially the preceding panel. My name is Gary Hooser. I'm here tonight to ask for your help and support and your vote because I want to serve you on your Kauai County Council. I love the work that I do. I've been serving you in some capacity or another for the past 16 years, and it's an honor and privilege to serve, and I want to continue doing it. I have an open door. Aloha.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Yukimura, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you. Aloha. Thank you for the opportunity for serving you for many years now as mayor and as council member. I've been able to do it only because of your support. We on Kauai come from many different backgrounds and viewpoints, but we do share one common dream, and that is of a Kauai that is prosperous, sustainable, and healthy. For many years now, I've worked to achieve that dream with not just words, but with lasting results. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mr. Raposo, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you all, and thank you all for being here tonight. For those of you that are listening on the radio, watching on the stream, appreciate your interest. This is a very important election coming up. I have served on the county council for, this is my 10th year. I want to continue to serve. We got a lot of work to do. I want to thank everyone for the great support I had in the primary election. Surprised the heck out of me. But I think, you know, I keep saying that I'm the most misunderstood council member on the council. But I think over the last 10 years, I've proven myself. People are finally realizing that I'm not just a box of hot air, that in fact, I do have some good ideas. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. DeCosta, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. Philip Chamber of Commerce, thank you very much. Billy DeCosta, local boy, married to the girl of my dreams, raising 3 boys. I'm the Kauai Complex Resource Environmental Teacher. And I like to look at myself as like a racehorse in the Kentucky Derby, and the odds are 100 to 1. But if you bet on Billy DeCosta, let me tell you, your payoff is going to be tremendous. Give me a shot. Don't be silly. Vote for Billy.
Thank you. Mr. Perry, you have 30 seconds.
I was waiting for that. Anyway, most of you know me. I'm Police Chief Darrell Perry. I've been here for 7 years. I have over 40 years as a law enforcement officer. The bottom line, the reason why I'm here is the same as you. I want to see positive changes in Kauai and on the Kauai Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kagawa, what is your position on and plan for maintaining the tourism business while protecting Kauai's environment? You have 2 minutes.
First of all, you know, people come to Kauai to enjoy its beauty. That is the main reason why they pay these expensive costs to fly to Hawaii, to stay at our hotels. And how do we help that? We need to keep our costs down. And by increasing property taxes, fees, etc., it'll only make the prices of enjoying our paradise here in Kauai worse. So definitely that is the number one factor we can do, is we've got to control the cost of government. And, let's not beat around the bush. The county currently today, 4 years ago, let me point out, we had a $50 million surplus or a savings in our bank. Today, we are broke. If we had to pay all of our bills today with the rising the cost of labor next year, we'd be $4 million in the hole. The state of Hawaii, if they had to pay all of their employee retirement obligations, they would be $11 to $13 billion in the hole. So their $880 million surplus last year, it is a surplus. But if they paid all of their bills, they'd be bankrupt. The federal government, as you know, $18 trillion. How scary is that? $18 million deficit. So we're not alone. We need, but we are here, are running for county council. We can control what the county does. And to make a better, more efficient government, we need to downsize. And downsizing means we need to make cuts where we can. And this is critical times. We cannot continue to tax and fee our public and our businesses. It'll make it harder. We also need to do a lot better job on our parks, our roads, our public transportation, for bikes, for walkers, etc. And that is how I feel we can improve our business economy for tourism. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to take comments? Sir? Yes, Mr. Perry, and then Ms. Yukimura.
Our tourist industry is one of the, if not the biggest driver, economic drivers on Kauai. And the way we have done it with the police department is to make sure that our tourists have an excellent experience. Now, I know that we've had property crimes with regard to thefts and burglaries, but we have addressed those situations and continue to do so. What I learned recently is that on a daily basis, Kauai has about 23,334 visitors on the island, which is about 30% of our population. It should be noted that we cannot depend totally on tourism, but we must promote it. Tourism needs to be part of our economic system, but we also have to diversify. But we promote that, and we're looking at, I'm looking at ecotourism and also sports tourism to make this more well-rounded. Thank you.
Ms. Yukimura?
Thank you. We can promote the tourism business by protecting our environment, because that is what visitors come to see. The other day, a tourist just told me they were here from Texas because they loved the laid-back nature of Kauai. We have to protect that, but it's not just about the atmosphere. It's also about services provided to them. And we can do that best by taking care of locals. Because if we do good public transportation and clear up our roads, if we have clean parks, and also if we have aloha, and there will be not as much resentment against visitors if they can see the benefits of the tourism coming to us. But that also means that we need the TAT to pay for the impacts of visitors, so that we don't ask our citizens to pay for the impacts of visitors.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Hooser, in the last few years, all jurisdictions have had challenges in balancing budgets, including Kauai. What is your position on downsizing government while still providing the current level of services to balance the county's budget, and why? You have 2 minutes.
Yeah, thank you for that question. I would say that not just every jurisdiction faces these challenges, but every family faces the same challenges. You know, things are hard for people. Costs keep going up, and incomes are not keeping pace with the costs. And the county needs to tighten its belt, quite frankly. There's only two ways to do this. Either cut spending or increase revenue. It's not a magic formula. Those are the two things to do. And unfortunately, in the recent history, the county's focus has been only on revenue, on increasing taxes, increasing fees. And I have good news to report. Yesterday, the Committee on Finance, chaired by Councilmember Chalk, the committee unanimously passed an amended bill, to cap the increase of property taxes to $250 for people that live in their homes. So it's a tremendous accomplishment. And I want to emphasize that was a unanimous decision. There's a lot of talk about a divided council. That was a unanimous decision. We all got together with our different views and said, this is what's right. Let's do it. And so it's a major accomplishment for our council and for our taxpayers. We recognize the burden. But we have to go further than this. We have to cut expenses also. And it's difficult. It's not easy. People will talk about, well, just cut. Usually, if you're going to cut, it means you have to cut families. You have to cut people's jobs, and that's a very difficult thing to do. My suggestion for the administration, I made it before and I'll make it again, is do a 5% across the board. Take a little bit out of every department. 5% over $170 million is a pretty big piece of money. To me, that would be the main thing, across the board, small cuts, and then do not hire. Freeze hiring and eliminate jobs through attrition. As people retire, as jobs vacate, then you shrink government slowly. But we can't have it all. We can't have all our services and not pay for it. We have to be willing to pay for it. But I think it is time to tighten our belt. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. DeCosta and then Mr. Kagawa, followed by Ms. Yukimura.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to see our county run their budget like how we run our household budget. I'm a business major in economic background, and supply and demand works into the equation. And I speak from my heart because I work for the state, and we have workers that put out and workers that don't put out, just like you guys have in the county. And I think educating our workers and our managers and our department heads, that we got to give a little more than just your average 6 hours in an 8-hour day of work. Because if we don't, this is the negative effects. The county is losing money. The state is losing money. I truly believe that educating our people and asking for a little more out of an everyday workforce and get a little bit more work for the dollar we're giving them would benefit our county. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kagawa.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, yesterday, it was a glorious day. You know, no taxpayer will have a tax increase over last year's bill of over $250 in any category. And that was done because the council made a mistake in removing the cap in the first place. So why did we get there? And it's because we rushed. And, you know, I think the administration came with a proposal, said that taking off the cap was the best thing, it would have been fair. But, you know, as we saw, when people got their bills, they didn't think it was too fair. And, you know, so let's... Next time, when we make a tax measure, tax reform, whatever you call it, let's take our time. Let's not make bills to fix the problem after and put Band-Aids on it. So I believe that, you know, we just need to slow down and learn from our mistakes. And yesterday was a glorious day. I thank council members yesterday for really doing the right thing. And let's figure it out before we put large tax increases on our public.
Thank you, Ms. Yukimura.
Removing the cap was not a mistake. The cap was extremely inequitable, and as Jimmy Nishida said in testimony yesterday, it made certain people had to pay for other people. And so we had to remove it, and it's still removed. The remedy that we gave yesterday was to keep, for this year's taxes, to limit people to 250, but the present system stays in place with many programs to protect our local taxpayers. And one of the reasons we couldn't keep the cap is because it's restricting our ability to provide services, needed services. And I do not agree with cutting across the board. Our housing agency, which has to provide affordable housing, our public transportation agency, which has to provide expanded bus services, we cannot cut them back. We need to provide for the future, and we need to do this with all compassion and foresight.
Thank you, Mr. Raposo.
The question was about how do you downsize government. It's real simple, non-essential. You know, we're at tough times. Private sector, you know what you guys do. We got to downsize government. Is it necessary to have four HR managers in our HR department? Is it necessary to have two executive managers in our civil defense office of four? Two extremely highly salaried employees. That's what I'm talking about. We talked about attrition. We talked about cut, cut, cut. What this county needs is a management audit to determine where, in fact, the duplication of services are. And where we see the duplication, that's where we got to cut. I'm sorry. I hate to say this, and there are live bodies, but we created the mess. We, meaning the council and the administration collectively. I take responsibility, although I voted against many of those positions, it passed. But when you're looking at how do we downsize, that's how you do it. And you do it through attrition as well. As people retire, you find where the duplication of services are, reassign the duties, and reduce the size of government. That's how you do it.
Thank you. Anyone else on the budget issue? Ms. Yukimura, one of the next big expenses for the county is the site and construction of the landfill. What is your position and plan for the next landfill? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. We need a landfill. That's clear. But I don't think we need as big a landfill as we are planning for. And we need more than a landfill, an aggressive reduce, reuse, and recycle program. The pay-as-you-throw program, which we just passed yesterday, is a good step in that direction because it will charge people for garbage based on how much they throw out. And as was pointed out by the earlier panel, the increases in fees for that service is far below the monthly cost that people have to pay. So but we, more than ever, we need a MRF, a materials recovery facility. And that's been very slow in this administration, but we need to do that. And we've done other things like pilot recycling programs. We've had the cart before the horse. And so we need to be strategic and clear in how we're doing it. And the other thing we need is good management. And that's related to not wasting money. The best way for us to not waste money is to have the appointment of good high-level managers because they know how to save costs. Right now we are paying for $2 million of managerial error in solid waste. But in other areas as well, we have many lawsuits because of the inability of our managers to handle personnel issues. So in both solid waste and in other areas, that's one of the most important ways to save money and cut costs and waste.
Thank you. Mr. Kagawa, followed by Mr. Perry.
You know, I really get along with the mayor well. I support his administration. But there's one department that I am not pleased with, and it is solid waste. You know, we've had the Mount, whatever they call it, in Kekaha for about 30-something years. And what have we done? That's the Kekaha landfill. That's right in back of my favorite surf spot growing up, Target Range. And I am absolutely upset about, you know, that mountain just being grown and grown and grown. And what have we done in those 30-something years different besides bury rubbish? What have we done? She was mayor. What have we done creatively? Where's our waste to energy? Where's our waste to road resurfacing? Nothing. And it upsets me that we seem content that just what we're doing is okay. And I think, you know, we spend $18 million a year in that department. We need to do a lot more.
Thank you. Mr. Perry?
Yeah, when I'm listening to all of this, and I'm just thinking of one thing, and that's my granddaughter say, Grandma, slow down. I can feel the tension up here. So I wanna slow things down a little. I believe the county is addressing this issue in accordance to statutory mandates, which includes viable site assessments and recommendations, community input, legislative hearings, and long-term planning. It is imperative that we get this right by moving toward a waste-to-energy facility to capitalize on efficiency while moving away from unsustainable consumption of fossil fuels. This is a big issue, and it's been ongoing for a long time. The people in Kikaha have been down there dealing with this issue. And it's not in my backyard. I don't want to hear, but it has to go somewhere. So as long as we follow the rules and we do what's right and we get community input, we'll find a site. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Raposo.
Thank you. You know, since I first ran in 98, I've been advocating for waste to energy. I know it's a bad word to many of you, but if you look at, I'm a realist. You know, I'm a realist. I'm a practicalist. And I know that what we've been doing doesn't work. Zero waste, a great concept, but until we invent that machine that will vaporize matter, it's not going to happen. We burn our trash, or we arc our trash, convert it to electricity. It is renewable. When you take trash and you convert it to power, that is a renewable. You're taking oil off of the grid. You're creating your own electricity from the trash. We need to move in that direction. I'm not going to stop on that fight. The mayor has finally opened up and I believe has even put out some RFPs. But we need to start looking at alternative technologies because this is an island. We're going to run out of space. We cannot think about our term of office. We got to think about 500, 300, 200 years from now. Where are we going to go? Let's start today. Let's find a new technology and let's... And it's environmentally safe, and we know that. Let's get it done.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Raposo, what is your position on solutions to sustaining successful businesses and encouraging new industries to establish on Kauai? You have 2 minutes.
Well, let me break this down in two sections. Number one is the state. You know, state is one of the biggest obstacles for businesses here. And as a businessman, I can tell you, with the regulation and the costs, taxes, Medicare, Social Security, everything else that a small business like myself who once had 6 employees now down to what, just me, because you just can't afford it. The cost of doing business here in Hawaii is tremendous, and I think we got to work with our state to try to lighten up the load for small businesses. You got to understand, small businesses are the backbones of this country, not the large corporations. It's the small businesses. Secondly, in the county, our licensing and permitting's got to be sped up. When we got people waiting for permits, 8 months, 10 months, 12 months to build in their office or their structure. Regulations, our county regulations and enforcing, making sure that we are enforcing the illegal businesses out. We have competition here that are not legal, and they're taking away business from our legal enterprises, and I think we got to really step up the enforcement. I don't know, I'm hearing somebody talking, or I'm not sure. I apologize, but somebody's talking, and it's kind of... They in a toilet? I mean, really, you know, this is important for me. And then as Mr. Kagawa talked about taxes and fees, you know, I mean, Councilmember Kagawa and I voted against all the taxes increases, all the fee increases, and people will say, no, you have to. No, we don't. We got to stop the bleeding. People are maxed out already here on this island. You know, I got a part-time job. I work at the night shift at the Kauai Beach Resort. I'm proud of that. You know, people say, wow, Mel, they don't pay you enough. No. I got 2 kids in college. One just graduated. I got bills. I got to work. I'm not ashamed to say that. The bottom line is there's a lot of people like me that live paycheck to paycheck that cannot afford enough. And yeah, maybe that one tax, the $18 or the $10 is not enough, is not much. But when you add that to the sewer, the water, the electricity, the car tax, the gas tax, and everything else, it mounts up. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on this question? Mr. Hoosier?
Yes, the question is about solutions for sustainable, successful businesses, correct? Okay. We have many tremendous opportunities on our island. I think we need to look at opportunities and focus on the good things and the opportunity for the future, and there's lots of it. You know, one of the biggest opportunities is for food, for small farmers. We have thousands and thousands of thousands of acres that are not used properly right now because of our tax policy, partly, and partly is because big landowners don't want to give small farmers the proper leases. Grass-fed beef. Grass-fed beef is an industry that could provide millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars for this economy. And we can do it, but the people trying to do it can't get long-term leases on their land. The state of Hawaii has over 10,000 acres that they could lease to local farmers, but they choose to lease it just to a few large corporations because it's easy. But there is tremendous opportunity in the visitor industry. We should support agritourism for our small farmers. We should support small businesses in homes instead of penalizing them when they start a small business in their home through our tax policy. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on the issue of sustaining business? Mr. DeCosta, what is your position on the impact on establishing a long-term vision for Kauai when council members are elected for only 2 years? You have 2 minutes.
I like the fact that council members only have 2 years, and I tell you why. It's because the community have control of removing that council member if they don't like his or her responsibilities that they're doing on the council. I think all of us candidates should have had a business plan written and approved by a board, and not a paid board, a community board that would have selectively choose us to run for council. How many of you have heard a business plan from any one of us? We sit up here with a bunch of false promises. I tell you what is some of my vision for Kauai. We talk about a sustainable agriculture industry, and that the large land companies are only leasing land to ag companies like seed corn. How about growing grain corn? How about growing wheat, barley, and corn to grain feed our grass-fed cattle 90 days before they go to the slaughterhouse? Do you know we send all our cattle off to the mainland? You try go buy a grass-fed steak and put it on a grill and compare it to a steak from Costco. I raise cattle, grass-fed. I don't eat grass-fed beef. I buy my steak from Costco. I sell my cattle to the mainland, and I use that money to buy me a long piece of New York steak. And I tell you why. Grain-fed beef tastes better than grass-fed beef. But you let them eat grass for 2 years, and then you grain them for 30 days on barley, corn, and wheat that is grown locally by an ag co-op company made up of profit-sharing employees. And that's another reason why businesses don't thrive on the island. Try open your doors to profit-sharing. Anytime an employee makes minimum wage plus profit-sharing, they have a vested interest in your company. They don't have a vested interest. That's why they end up leaving. I'm letting you guys know, Mr. DeCosta have a bright vision for Kauai. We grumble about the seed companies on the west side. We can't ask them to leave. I tell you why. Because we don't have another industry. Let's go build a goat dairy on the west side. You guys drive to the west side and see how much guinea grass is growing on the slopes of Koke'e. Nothing grazing that guinea grass. The lady in Kilauea cannot keep up with her goat cheese and goat milk. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to talk about your position on the impact of establishing a long-term vision for Kauai when council members are elected for only 2 years? Ms. Yukimura, followed by Mr. Perry.
Yes, thank you. I'm in favor of a 4-year term because running every other year really breeds short-term thinking and makes council members vote just for popular things. Look, nobody wants to raise water fees or car vehicle weight taxes, but then we get all these complaints from Ke Kaha about broken water mains and roads that will break your car. We need to provide services that people need. And waste to energy is not a renewable energy. Studies have shown that it's not feasible on Kauai, and communities have gone broke on waste to energy. When I was mayor, I fast-tracked a landfill with 20 years, and we had an integrated solid waste management plan that included pay-as-you-throw and a MRF, but it was not implemented for 20 years because of a lack of vision and management.
Thank you, Mr. Perry.
Okay.
And Mr. Kagawa.
2 years or 4 years shouldn't matter. If you're in the council, you should be working full-time, doing the best job you can. And if that means creating a 20-year plan for this county, so be it. But historically, Kauai has lagged behind other islands in terms of growth, but by no means that does that mean that changes won't occur. The economic development and tourism statistics predict for the county of Kauai residential growth between 2015 and 2040 will increase to 93,000 people. When you include the visitors and military, the de facto population forecast is 115,000 people on this island. 23% will be of age 65 or older. The changing demographics will place a much greater burden on the county for services rendered in every segment of government, especially your seniors. And as such, we must prepare today for tomorrow.
Thank you, Mr. Kagawa.
Thank you. This is my last paper, but... No, I have to answer, you know, as I heard Councilmember Yukimura say that for because of the short terms, members would vote a certain way. I think I would dispute that. I vote what's in my heart, what I think is best for the people of Kauai. And I hope we have some new council members or candidates running. I hope we have a new breed on Kauai. We no longer have $50 million of savings where we can just go with the flow and do whatever we pleases everybody. You know, in order to stop the bleeding, turn this ship around, we need a new breed that will just do what is right for our people and especially for our kids. Let's not leave them with all of our mistakes as adults and leave them with debt that is our fault someday. You know, our parents, when they ran government, our uncles, government was solid. And today, we're all in debt. Federal government, state government, county government, all in debt, all bankrupt. And we need a new breed that will just do the right thing.
Thank you. Mr. Hooser?
Yes, could you repeat the question?
I'm sorry. The question is, what is your position on the impact on establishing a long-term vision for Kauai when council members are elected for only 2 years?
Okay, thank you. You know, first of all, I think it's not about my vision. It's about the community's vision. And that's how I operate. People come to me, farmers come to me and say, Gary, can you help us with the ag tourism? Could you help us with grass-fed beef? Could you help us with pesticides? Or could you help us make our community better? And so I think it's a vision of the community, and it's a combined vision of all kinds of people. It's not one segment. It's not people saying, I'm right and you're wrong. It's not people pointing fingers at each other, getting angry. It's about people working together, coming together, seven council members, sitting together, and sharing their combined vision of the communities they represent, and then taking that information and moving forward in a thoughtful, diligent way. Not about blaming, not about getting angry, not about pushing, about working together and holding each other up for a better Kauai. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? If not, Mr. Perry, there may be situations where you believe your idea would benefit the people of Kauai, but public support is against the idea. What is your position on whether you would continue to execute your idea or wait for public support before executing your idea? You have 2 minutes.
Could you do me a favor and repeat the question?
I will. There may be situations where you believe your idea would benefit the people of Kauai, but public support is against your idea. What is your position on whether you would continue to execute your idea or wait for public support before executing your idea? You have 2 minutes.
I believe in participatory government, and I believe that getting information and input from everyone is vital. As an administrator with the Kauai Police Department, we have a paramilitary organization, but the paramilitary organization also includes inclusiveness with our employees. If I had an idea that would benefit the people of Kauai, but public support was against my idea, I would make sure that I'd be out there explaining and educating. And if the public says that's not what they want, so be it. Maybe that's not the right time. Maybe sometime in the future it could happen. And if it comes to fruition that perhaps in the future we can take a look at that, revisit that issue, and we've done it in the police department on many occasions, then that would be the time to execute this idea. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other person? Mr. Brune?
Costa.
I'm sorry, Mr. DeCosta.
Yeah, I'm a little bit better looking and smaller than Mr. Brune. Anyway, but I love you, Atta. You're a good man. Anyway, it's not our idea. It's the community's idea. If we have something on our personal agenda, and if it doesn't go well with the public, then we pull back. We represent you guys. Just like when your son or daughter plays for a team sport like soccer or football. It's not the coach's team. It's the community's team. Mr. DeCosta has a vision. And I can't do anything unless I get into office. I grew up in Pakal on the west side. You know what we had on the west side? Sugarcane and the military base. Today, we have corn seed companies and the military base. How about a moy farm on the west side where we can serve fresh moy in our local restaurants? That's the most expensive fish. How about growing strawberries like they do in Kula on Maui, up on the lower slopes of Koke'e? How about running a hydro all the way down the river, the ditch that comes off of Koke'e, and still put water back into the reservoirs for the corn companies, but we generate electric for the Hawaiian Homes people that still don't have their land in Hawaiian Homes? I have a vision.
Thank you, Mr. DeCosta, and I apologize for calling you someone else's name. And that was Mr. Billy DeCosta. Mr. Kagawa, you now have 2 minutes for your closing statement. Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. Mr. Hooser wanted to comment on the last question.
Yes, the last question was about situations where people disagree with you. How would you handle that? And I think that really is the nature of democracy. You know, we have 7 people on the council. Ideas are presented. We discuss. We debate the ideas. The public comes and testifies. And a majority votes. And that's it. If you're on the minority, you accept it. But you're respectful. You don't denigrate or put down the other person's opinion. You respect each other for the values and ideas that you bring to the table. And I think there's diversity is key. You want a council, in my opinion, that reflects our community. And that means men, women, old, young, different demographics, different areas. And then you bring those ideas, and there's a richness and there's an incredible value in that coming to the table. And that's how decisions are made. That's how they should be made. And regardless of my opinion, it's a combined community's decision at the end of the day. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr.
Last opportunity to use our money, right?
Yes, it is. Mr. Raposo.
I should have used it earlier, but that's okay. I think for most of you that have followed the county council, you know that I have never been afraid to speak up. You know that I have spoken up on the minority side of many issues, and my family will tell you that I've paid dearly for that in rotten emails and phone calls and, you know, my daughter being confronted at her workplace saying that I'm an a-hole. I mean, those things happen. But I think that's our job. I think everybody's position deserves to be heard on that floor, whether the public is ready to hear it or not. And I'm prepared to do that. I've never held back because I worried about the next election. I know Councilmember Yukimura said the 2-year thing kind of forces people to basically be political. That doesn't stop me. And I think that was proven in a recent resolution on a personnel matter that I took more flack. But the polls didn't reflect that. And I think everybody's comments, everybody's position, minority, majority, uninority, whatever you can call it, deserves to be heard on that table of 7. And I'm prepared at any time to be the person to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, Mr. Kagawa, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
You know, first of all, I'd like to thank the Filipino Chamber of Commerce for putting on a great forum. It allowed me to express my views, and that's what I'm about. You know, you either play hard or go home. And you know, my theory is I'm gonna run. I'm gonna give it my 100%, and hopefully when I leave, they'll say at least he gave it his all and he spoke up for the small guy. And that's why I'm a Democrat. I fight for the poor guy and the middle class to make their life better, to let them keep surviving here on Kauai. And you know, I'll continue to fight that battle. You know, I feel a trend coming. We're about a month away from the general election, and I feel a movement out there. And myself and Councilmember Raposo may not be in a minority in a month, and I look forward to that day.
And so, I wish all of the candidates luck, of course. We have a great slate of candidates this year. This is the reason why I feel the council members should have a four-year term, because when you have a great list of candidates like this, and it's tough campaigning, I think to go through this every 2 years is quite a task. But, you know, it gives the power back to the voters. Every 2 years, the voters of Kauai will give their council members a report card. And whether if they make it, they got a good grade. If they don't, well, maybe they lost touch with the people. But, we need tough candidates who are willing to do the right thing. You know, as we see, all governments are in trouble now. It's not just Kauai, nationwide. And what are we going to do about it? Are we going to keep taxing, or are we really going to make the changes that are necessary to make Kauai really a better place for our kids? So I thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hooser, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Yes, I want to thank everyone that's here tonight. Again, my name is Gary Hooser, and I'm here to ask for your help and support and for one of your 7 votes. I love what I do. I've been serving you and the people of Kauai for the past 16 years, and I'd like to keep doing it. And in order for me to do it, I need your help and your support. I graduated from high school in Honolulu. I graduated from Kauai Community College, University of Hawaii, West Oahu, with a bachelor's in public administration. I spent 15 years in business. I served as your state senator, and it is an honor and a privilege to be up here tonight and to serve you every day. I believe this is a full-time job, and I love every minute of it. It is the most challenging job I've ever had in my life, but it's very fulfilling. People say sometimes it's a thankless job, and I haven't found it that way. I found it to be a most fulfilling job. Moving forward, we have to look at the future, and it's a critical time. There's a critical path, choices that have to be made. And I hope this community recognizes that we need people sitting in those 7 seats that, again, reflect our community, reflect the audience that's here tonight, and those values. And there's a mixture of values. Some people want to do this, some people want to do that. But you have a collection of values that respect each other. Respect each other's values and come to the table and talk like civilized, mature people, honoring each other's opinion, listening to each other, listening to the community, and then coming together and making a thoughtful decision. That's the kind of council we need. I believe that's the kind of council in large part that we have today. And I applaud all the candidates that are running. It takes a tremendous amount of internal fortitude to run for public office. Applaud all of them, and I thank you for allowing me to serve, and I ask for your support in Kakua to serve again these next 2 years. Mahalo.
Thank you. Ms. Yukimura, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Thank you. Mahalo to the Kauai Filipino Chamber of Commerce for this excellently managed forum. I'd like to take the first half of my time to address a deep concern I have about this election. The idea of choosing a county council by slate of candidates, which began in the primary election. The way I see it, proposed slates are being done for all the wrong reasons, out of fear that someone's going to win or somebody's going to lose, out of a desire for control and power, out of a desire to pull up the weaker candidates without assessing individual merit. And so someone can be chair or because of one or two issues. As I said during the primary, we must not choose council members according to one or two issues because we cannot run the county well based on one or two issues. Of all the wonderful candidates running for council, and I consider each candidate wonderful, it takes a lot of work to run for council. Let's choose someone who is a good leader. And now I just want to say about myself, I've worked for a sustainable, healthy, and prosperous community where there's no vision, people perish. And vision has been one of my strengths. I can see need and possibility before most people, which is why we started the Kauai Bus, the Sunshine Markets, and affordable housing. I get the job done even when it's hard and sometimes takes years. I know how to work with others, but I am not beholden to anyone except the well-being of the people of Kauai, also known as the common good.
I hope you will vote for a strong, knowledgeable, and caring leader and put your X next to the Y. Yukimura for council. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mr. Raposa, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Thank you. And thank you all for being here. And thank you to the Chamber of Commerce, the Filipino Chamber, for hosting us tonight. 10 years on the council in various leadership roles. 12 years with Kauai Police Department. 21 years retired with the Hawaii Air National Guard. Traveled the world, really, over 21 years. I have a bachelor's in criminal justice. One of my proudest accomplishment is being the president of the State Association of Counties for Hawaii. So I represent this state throughout the country. I have the opportunity to sit in the offices of our congressional people and our senators up in D.C. With Councilmember Kagawa's connections with former Senator Hanabusa. You know, those kinds of connections are important. They are important. And I take pride in that because you need the unanimous support of the state. So that basically lends some credibility to what I have done in my short time, 10 years on the council. I'm an independent thinker. Much has been said about the slate, the Super Six. Well, I saw one today, keep Kauai alive, vote for five. You know, and there's a lot of talk about that, how bad that is. But yet throughout the history, UPW, ILWU, HSDA, fire, police, all of these organizations, they endorse candidates. Candidates don't control that. Organizations do. The community does. So whether it's good or bad, I mean, that's not an issue. The issue is that people have the right to do what they want in America. The voter has the ultimate say, regardless whether you're a fireman, you don't have to vote for the endorsements of the community, I mean, of the union. Just want to say this. When 2491 came to the council, we had two roads to take. Number one, buy some time, work it out. Number two, pass a law and go to court. Councilmember Kagawa and I went to the governor's office again through the connections from HSAC, my connections with the governor, and we got the good neighbor policy and with the help of our legislative team as well as the mayor. That has given us disclosure, buffer zones, and a website that people can go to. 2491 got us in court. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. DeCosta, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Well, I'd like to thank you guys again for hanging around. I know some of the crowd left, but thank you guys for hanging around. I need to ask you guys a tiny favor, and it's not for myself, but for all the candidates up here. Go out and spread the word on your favorite candidates. Go out and talk politics and talk about your favorite candidates, because get the word out. Mr. DeCosta, I'm a businessman. I'm an economic major. That's a study of business. My wife and I invested money 10 years ago. We bought 10 and a half acres and 3 homes on a property. Not bragging, but I'm telling you guys, Mr. DeCosta, don't tell you I'm smart. I gotta be smart to have done that and still hold on to that right now with the high property tax. That's why my campaign is very low budget. I'm like the Lone Ranger up here. I'm not on any slate, but I tell you what, I have no black mask, and you guys are my tanto. The community rides with me, and I can work with any one of these guys. I do. You ask them, any one of these guys I can have coffee with. Well, maybe Tim Bynum got to buy me the coffee. But anybody else, I'll buy them the coffee. I just want to let you guys know one thing. Billy DeCosta took a job 5 years ago from the state that does not pay for gas up Koke'e and does not pay for overtime. I, the only teacher, was willing to do that. Otherwise, it was going to cut the program. The program that takes your grandkids and your children camping with Uncle Bill up in Koke'e. I'm the Koke'e teacher. I did it out of my heart. I pay for gas every day. I'm the only resource teacher who don't get gas money. I don't complain. I dig deep because the state doesn't have money. We got to dig deep as a county. I tell you a story about Waimea Town. I went to the forum and I spoke at Waimea Town. And I believe that I told them a story about a little boy who was walking with no rubber slippers. And he came to my program 2 years ago. And I stopped my car and I said, hey, Jerry, where's your slippers? He said, Uncle Bill, it broke last week. You no more slippers? You no more money? No more, Uncle. I took out the last $10 out of my wallet and gave it to Jerry to go buy slippers. I'm not telling you I'm some kind of apostle from Jesus. I'm telling you guys I got a good heart. And I don't have all this political background. I'm not a politician. But I do things from here. I do things because I love the community and I love to be on Kauai. Billy DeCosta, don't be silly.
Thank you very much. Mr. Perry, you may now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
First off, I wanted to tell you, I wasn't zoning out when she asked me that last question. I was actually thinking about a previous question. It was my fault. I was thinking about the roads in Kapa'a and the rest. But I'd like to thank the Filipino Chamber of Commerce for the opportunity to participate in this forum. And like everybody else said, thank you for being here tonight. As I look at the many issues and challenges that we have, increasing property tax, GMO, pesticides, landfill, sustainable agriculture, energy needs, affordable housing, jobs, homelessness, transportation, increasing government growth. One thing I don't see on this list is crime. And you look at other counties and other jurisdictions, you'll see crime is probably number one or number two. You don't see that. And the reason why is because we work hard. KPD works hard. The employees, everyone there works hard as a team. We collaborate. We reach out to the community to do the best job we can. We're not perfect. There is crime out there. But I tell you, working together as a team is the only way to go. And while I'm trying to take the high road and say that that's not the case in our council, there is no teamwork. There is divisiveness. And that's why I'm running for county council. As I said from the beginning, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to make a positive change. It takes a lot of work. All of us are working. We work full-time jobs, and we're doing this, and we're committed. Even the people that we have differences of opinion, I respect them greatly. But this county has got to take a position, and we have to make some changes for our future. And not only today, not only 2 years or 4 years, but we're looking at 20 years down the line. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of the Kauai Filipino Chamber of Commerce and the Kauai Filipino Community Council, we thank you for attending this tonight's forum, and we thank you for participating in this forum. And we hope that you have learned a little bit more about the candidates for this year. As a reminder, October 6th is the last day to register for the general election. The October 21st through November 1st, 2014 is when the general election early voting period begins and ends. October 28th is the last day to request absentee mail ballots for the general election. And the big day, of course, is November 4th with the general election. So thank you again very much from the Kauai Filipino Chamber of Commerce and the Kauai Filipino Community Council. Good night and have a safe travel.